Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
You currently locked in to the coldest podcast in the land. It's your boy, B. Jones, a.k.a. Bolo, and you know when I'm pulling up to the porch. I can't pull up without my dog.
What's going on, y'all, man? It's your main man here, Big Smitty, a.k.a. D-Nice. And you heard Bolo just said, this is the porch.
Started
welcome.
On the porch. That was
we are back again, y'all, man. This is holiday season. Thanksgiving is upon us. Probably my favorite holiday. Top two. Because you know I'm about to be grubbing all week long, man. Bolo, how are you doing, though?
Talk to me nice, man. I was like, the goal is for me to lose about 2 to 3 pounds. That way I can just make up for it on Thursday. You feel what I'm saying?
Okay. Have we reached that goal? Have we lost that 2 or 3?
We close. Like, I'm kicking in the overdrive. So even after the show, I'm going to go ahead and give me an extra workout in tonight. Mm. And then I'm going to keep going all the way up until... You know, it's Turkey Thursday, so I'm excited, though. But you know we can't come up to the porch unless we say God is good, man. 10 toes down. You know, happy to be here. Obviously, thankful for the porch, my bro. And just wanted to say, man, how's the sunny side of L.A. treating you right now?
It's sunny side of L.A.'s been a little chilly, I'll say, for L.A. standards. Now, obviously, you're back in Indianapolis, so I got to put everything into perspective. I've gotten a little softer since I've moved out to LA. So my skin isn't the same way as it used to be. So, you know, 60 degrees in LA kind of feels like 40 degrees, 45 degrees back in Indianapolis because we're by the ocean. So that's kind of cold to me now. So it's starting to get a little chilly out here, but I can't complain too much. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, bro. We gotta get you back home soon, bro.
yes, man. And before we introduce our very, very special guest who I'm so excited to talk to, learn about, and introduce to you all. Gotta shout out our sponsor, Bet Online, man. Make sure you guys go to betonline.ag for all your sports gambling needs. It's NBA season, NFL season, college football is upon us as well. So for all your sports gambling needs, go to betonline.ag and use the promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, to get your 50% plus welcome bonus. But without further ado, man, I can't keep my guests waiting here too much longer, man. This is someone who I consider a healer. She's a professor, educational therapist, and activist, and so much more. The one and only Dr. Marilyn Thompson. Welcome to the porch.
Hi, it's such a pleasure to be here. And thank you so much for having me. And I'm so excited and I look forward to just today's discussion.
Yes, love man. It, love it.
I love it, man. So first, before we even dive into everything, man, how has life been treating you? I haven't seen you in, a couple of weeks at least. Like, how's life? How are you?
Gosh, you know, it's actually such a busy season. I think usually towards the holiday season, there is more things to do in the classroom with students, discharging clients, people who've met their goals within occupational therapy. And I'm also navigating like a very complex season right now. One of my uncles, unfortunately, is really ill. And so it's like a bittersweet time period right now, but I'm grateful to God to be here and to be alive and to take another breath. So,
amen.
Yeah. No, I love that perspective that you always have. And one thing that we always like to kind of ask to start off our shows, our interviews with our guests is just something that we consider as simple, but it's not really simple when you really think about it. But who is Marilyn Thompson? How would you answer that question?
Gosh, that question. When I heard y'all ask the question to all of your different speakers, it was just wonderful to see the diversity in response. But I'd have to say, first and foremost, I'm evolving in every season, in every year. And so I don't know if my response will be the same like a year ago to 10 years from now. But I am someone who's very passionate about occupational therapy and health equity. And I kind of really try to center my lived experience with being Latina and knowing kind of like the diverse health outcomes that populations and people in my culture have to navigate on a day-to-day basis. I'm a scholar activist, like you mentioned. I'm really passionate with addressing kind of health equity as well as working with practitioners, educators, and clinicians to be anti-racist when we support the people that we serve and even in the classroom setting. And lastly, I'm a disciple of God. So I'm always trying to be a personal follower of Jesus and understand how to watch my life and doctrine really closely to really be a light to all of those that I serve and meet.
I love that. And that's a perfect segue to, you know, the servant side. You know, you serve a lot of people in a lot of different capacities. I guess take us back to, you know, when you were younger, right? Maybe the adolescence, like, were you always that way? Like, what came from, you know, being who you are now to, you know, kind of from growing up?
You know, that's such a great question, because part of why I'm in healthcare is because when I was 15, my mom was diagnosed with a brain tumor. So that was a transitionary period of like first year of high school. And my mom predominantly speaks Spanish. And so I was often in doctor's appointments with her, translating her kind of like what the doctor was trying to tell her, medication, interventions. And so I saw that really hand in hand when I was a teen. But my mom also cleans houses and my dad works in construction. And so one of the things that I would always see about them is they would like take off the shirt off their back to be able to serve and help out either family, friends, or anybody around in our community. And so I think I saw that modeled to me. Then I had to live it with my mom when she had her brain tumor, and all of that kind of shaped the fabric of who I am. And I mean, there are days that that's a really great skill to have and that I'm grateful for. And there are other times that I think that can also be harmful for my own well-being, right? If I am unable to take away kind of that role of being a servant and helping others, then how do I really maximize my potential and who God wants me to be, and how I can help others to navigate that for themselves?
That's a great point as well. Something that you mentioned, even, you know, when I asked you, you know, who is Marilyn Thompson, you kind of mentioned like the racism, you know, trying to break the racism within like the medical field. You know, now talking back to, you know, when you were a kid and watching your mom deal with that brain tumor and you going in the hospital and having to translate for, I mean, talk about just your specific experiences there. That did you feel like there was some racism at times when dealing with your mom, or just any, even if it wasn't racism, just any just kind of unprofessionalism when dealing with that whole process and communicating and things of that nature?
Yeah, well, my mom didn't have health insurance, so we were receiving services in LA County, right? So I don't really knew any different. And a lot of people who went to LA County, again, were maybe immigrants or didn't have health insurance. And so I can't say that in that moment, I was like, oh, this healthcare provider is being racist against me and my mom. Right. But as I grew up and started gaining more knowledge about how the healthcare system should work, I started realizing these discrepancies in, hey, why didn't I have someone tell me you can't be a translator for your mom? Like, there is a law in place that there needs to be a translator for any language, not just Spanish, right? When there is a doctor's appointment or a medical appointment. So now reflecting back on it, I'm like, man, these were things that I saw that I didn't realize were microaggressions and macroaggressions. And I want to ensure that other people don't have to navigate that alone. Because even as adults, sometimes we don't have the language or we don't know the knowledge that maybe a doctor who has like their white coat on may tell us, but we also can collaborate in that decision-making. And how do we navigate that?
Now, that's beautiful. Love that. For sure, man. And then another thing you would also mention too that I want to make sure I touch on before we move on is, as much of a caring person as you are, you come up with someone who always puts others first. Even, you know, me working with you, like you put so much energy and time into making sure I was okay. You know what I'm saying? And you do that with obviously all of your clients. And I feel like that's something that carries on even to your personal life with your family. And you mentioned that sometimes that could be, you know, dangerous or unsafe for your own health. How are you kind of balancing out that? Like, as much as you're helping others balance out their lives and their occupations and things like that, how are you, doctor, balancing out your personal life in that area?
Gosh. Well, what's really interesting is I think one of the biggest things that has helped me and kind of balances me out, I'd say, is my faith. What's interesting is in when I was at USC getting my bachelor's, my major was human evolutionary biology. So there was a time period that I was actually atheist. I was like, there ain't no God. In order for me to be like this dope professor and really thrive, I cannot have that be part of my value system, or I can't have that be who I am, because I didn't see it modeled around me that people talked about just their faith in God and et cetera. I saw it at home being Catholic, but it was just, we would go ever so often. It wasn't something too consistent. But when I was in undergrad, my advisor, who I was part of a scholarship, said, hey, I see that you're not doing so well here and you're failing your exams and there's something going on. What can be happening? And so I started getting testing anxiety. And she recommended me to go to therapy. So in therapy, I was like, okay, I went to therapy, but I don't think I aligned really well with my therapist. And so I ended up pursuing like spiritual practices. So I tried to study Buddhism, Christianity, and I realized like that faith for me was important. So I studied the Bible, got baptized in 2016. So I'd say faith and the women in my life who study the Bible with me are huge in that. The other part is really working with other healthcare providers, particularly like psychotherapists, right? So I have my own therapist that I meet with twice a month to tell her that I'm navigating. And she tries to help me like, hey, you do so well at your job because you're a problem solver and you love helping other people problem solve, but you need to find a different way to do that for yourself where it doesn't feel like you're constantly on. So I think those two kind of pieces have been helpful. And honestly, really trying to have open communication with my husband is a game changer because he's like, is this Maryland therapist coming on or little Maryland from childhood? Right. So I think those are the three big pieces that has helped me a lot.
Wow. I'll be very transparent to say that I haven't went to therapy yet.
Yeah.
My wife goes, I'm still in the mix of just trying to figure it out. Right. I think I need to go in some capacity. I think it'll be helpful, even for, you know, preventative measures. But you said something that I thought was pretty cool, because I think obviously being a therapist, like, you know, you just automatically assume from the outside looking in that the therapist they know everything. So to just see that a therapist get therapy, you know, is something that I think is pretty cool, because it's like, hey, even though I'm helping you work on you, I'm having somebody work on me as well. So I think it makes it more of a opening feeling to know that I'm like, hey, I'm coming to talk to a human and not this perfect person. And you know, I'm telling them about my faults and things I need to work on to get better. So that's definitely more eye-opening for me, and I'm sure people who are listening as well. Because sometimes you feel a little bit not ashamed, but like almost like afraid to just come out and, you know, say what you want to say to somebody who you think is perfect or has it all together. So that's pretty cool to hear that.
Yeah, I think it's that word, perfection, right? It's like we're imperfectly perfect human beings. And we don't get it right every time. And maybe your first interaction with your therapist might not be the greatest. I feel like that was my experience. And I was like, okay, I turned away from that, found God, amen. And then had to do some really like shopping around from different healthcare providers that are therapists, because I just didn't feel like we aligned well. So I would get on a call, be like, can we get on a 15-minute call and just see if we can connect and see if I would vibe. And if I didn't, I was like, next. But I had to be committed to wanting to heal, because sometimes that, you're right. It's complex for all of us. It doesn't always have to be therapy. It could be other mechanisms, but it's always helpful to have that support in someone.
Yeah.
Something.
1000%.
For sure. Now, listen, it's crazy how, like, again, every episode, like, there's some things that we prep for and we plan, and then some things that just happen based upon us listening in the conversation, and I got to adjust and pivot. One thing that's huge that you kind of just said in the middle of your quote-unquote rant was that you were an atheist for a time period. And going through your struggles with school and not really knowing yourself and figuring out, you know, just kind of how to get back on track, you found God again and really like dove deep into it. Like, can we dive into that process just a little bit more? Because I just think that's a huge testimony for people who are going through things and going through lives or struggling with their faith. And like I said, you know, I'm not here to tell people what they should believe in specifically. Obviously, I am outwardly a Christian. Bolo's a Christian. We do believe in God, but everyone has their own, you know, walk of faith. But I just think it's a beautiful story for you to be able to say, like, I was someone who grew up Catholic, kind of quote unquote fell off, so to speak, struggled. Yeah. Found God again, and like your life has been like, you know, going up. Just kind of talk on that like a little bit more, please.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's such an interesting piece, because when I was getting my bachelor's and I decided to major in human evolutionary biology, I was just like really curious about that kind of area or field.
Yeah.
But most of the time, my professors they didn't look like me. And so they had like a very like one track mind of like what human evolutionary biology is, what the science says, and we never really talked about religion or any form of spirituality. And I think for me personally, I had to adapt to my environment, because within kind of going to USC, I saw that I never found a place that I could fit in. Sometimes I felt uncomfortable with being a first generation college student. So I felt like I had to buy into the other ideologies that I saw other people who were thriving in their profession and their career as students, like the pathway that they were doing. Most of them, you know, I would see it be like, oh, I don't believe in God. And so I was like, okay, maybe I'll adapt, like adopt that mentality or mindset and see if that helps me be a better student, if that helps me engage and build rapport with the professor. But then I just started, you know, having a lot of struggles with being a student, not identifying a community space until luckily I was a recipient of the scholarship that I mentioned, which the director of the scholarship was like, hey, Marilyn, you're not doing good. Go seek support. And then kind of that pathway was really unique. And I think there is beauty in our brokenness. And I think there was a point in time in college when I was just like, I felt truly broken. And even though I was going to therapy, you know, I don't want to disclose, but my therapist, we weren't part of the same race. And so I had to do a lot of explaining of like, this is my culture. You can't just tell me that I need to cut off certain people in my life. It doesn't work that way. We don't function in that way. And so that's what kind of emerged with me studying the Bible. And what's interesting is my now husband, we both were going to USC together. And one question that he mentioned to me as when we were friends, he's like, Marilyn, do you ever feel alone? And I was like, yeah, I do. Sometimes I do feel alone. And he's like, do you believe in God? And I was like, yeah, I do believe in God. So then he said, then why do you feel alone if God is always with you? And that was like the first time a man has ever asked me about my faith, talked about God. And I was just like, what in the world is happening? This is really interesting. Our marriage union, I think, is definitely has God written all over it. In front of that, you know, I started studying the Bible and went to church, and now I'm part of kind of different types of communities at church. And I think one thing that you mentioned, Darnell, that I really value and I want to highlight is that all of us have our own journey. And for some people, it is going to be a non-denominational or denominational religious approach. For other people, it's other forms of spirituality. It's not one size fits all.
Right.
And that's a valuable piece, if anything, for any of the listeners who are listening to today's podcast episode, is what does spirituality mean to you? And what does that look like? For some people, it's nature. For others people, it's a religion. For others, it's just like this energy. So I encourage people to like take stock of what that means for them.
That's a beautiful thing, man. And Bolo, you know, I'm glad you brought up, you know, your husband as well, because I know he does some pretty dope things as well. And one thing that I saw was he runs a nonprofit, I believe, called Twinspire. Together We Inspire. Yeah. And I know you play a big role in that as well. Can you just tell us and the Porch family as well what this organization is all about and kind of what inspired, you know, you or your husband to kind of create this?
Yeah, so I can't take the credit because my husband, he's a twin. So both of my husband and my brother-in-law, they developed Twinspire. So Together We Inspire, it's a nonprofit organization that serves at-risk youth or former foster youth, because both of them were former foster youth. And they try to do their best with like programming and support like financial literacy and increase financial literacy skills to youth and foster youth, as well as provide life skills training, right? Like how can one be equipped to transition out of the foster care system if they are unable to cook, or if they don't have the financial resources to do that, and or if they don't have the life skills to really go to just like a job interview, or to take care of their health and to prioritize their health. So that is what Twinspire is, and we're really serving a lot of people across LA County, and we're hoping to see that number shift and it become more of a national nonprofit that serves so many people who are at promise.
Man, that's amazing.
This is dope, man.
I love it. I love it.
I feel inspired.
So, yeah, I was about to say Twinspire. That's just amazing. I guess this is just me giving you your flowers. Darnell gave me a rundown because obviously you guys have, you know, connection, you know, before, you know, I got a chance to jump on to the Porch. But I just have a great admiration for people who just do things to help move the pencil If that makes sense. I think everybody's here for a reason. And sometimes people find, you know, what their intent on this earth is. And, you know, we can see it kind of shine through you, you know, your family, your husband. So that's a beautiful thing. And, you know, we definitely wish that, you know, our hope that you continue to push that even more and continue to inspire people, you know, like ourselves and even our listeners as well, to get out there and do things that we're set out to do in this life. So really appreciate that.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Go for it. No, I was just going to say, I part of why I'm so excited to be here is just hearing how diverse and where this podcast is going with all of the different speakers that have come in. And for both of you, for being former athletes, deciding to like develop this podcast, you know, I'm really excited to see where it goes. And I'm certain that it's going to continue to help others. And I just appreciate your testimony. And please continue to strive for greatness and excellence, because both of you are excellent.
Love it.
Thank you so much, man.
Appreciate
Don't make me cry on here, Doc. You know what I mean? Don't make me cry on here.
I'm good.
We get compliments, but we don't receive it. We're just like, okay, and next. So
right.
Please, y'all do incredible work.
Saving money when you start your next project today at Menards. Check out our great selection of garage and utility lighting options. In stock, ready to take home today. We carry everything to help you illuminate whatever project you're working on. Shop garage and utility lighting products in store at your nearest Menards. You can also view all of our entire selection of lighting options today on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Thank you.
That definitely means a lot. It means a lot, man. So kind of moving forward, and we touched on a little bit here, but diving specifically into your career field as an occupational therapist. First of all, can you please define what that is to our listeners? I'm going to be real. Before I met you,
I had
never heard what an occupational therapist is. Even when I talk to my family and I tell people, like, they're like, what? What? So please explain what that is.
I'll explain it two parts. So occupational therapy as a profession, it's a healthcare profession that enables people across the lifespan to participate in daily living, right? So I'm concerned with anything that occupies your time. So for some people, bathing, showering, dressing. For other people, that's, you know, managing a chronic health condition. For other people, it's, you know, doing something that they love, like playing the guitar or DJing. So as an occupational therapist, I try to support people to do what they want to do and need to do across their daily life. And if and when they've ever had like an injury, illness, or they have a disability, we try to intervene and collaborate with them to get them doing what they're passionate about. And that's kind of what occupational therapy is. And it's such a broad definition that even nowadays I'm like, what do I do? Because it feels so different with each person that I work with. That's kind of our scope.
Nice. Now, you alluded to it earlier, but like, what got you specifically into the occupational side of things?
So what's interesting is like, oh, I'm going to go straight into the path of like being a doctor, an MD, when I had navigated kind of the things that went on with my mom's health condition. I was in college, I learned about occupational therapy, and I really liked it because it was such a holistic way of looking at another human being. We're looking at their physical capabilities. We're not looking just at what they do on a day-to-day basis. We're looking at kind of what makes them who they are, right? So that's why we call it like occupational therapy. Like, how are you occupying your time? What do you spend your day doing? So that is how we, for myself personally, I was like, I want to be able to work with someone and get to know them. Like, I want to be able to have like just a conversation and say like, how can I help you reach your full potential with your health or your mental health? And so I really appreciated that. And there are times where medical appointments are so quick, right? I'm not sure if you've ever been to your primary care provider visit. It's like a 10 to 15 minute session and like, okay, bye, go home and take your medication. And I think there's a lot of barriers that physicians have with kind of productivity standards, et cetera, that make it so that that's how their, you know, appointments are. But for me, I really love having that 1 hour session with folks and getting to know them, getting to understand what's going right, what's going wrong, what are their strengths, and utilizing that to help them in a holistic way. So that's kind of what really inspired me to go into this field. And we need more people of color to know occupational therapy, right? There's only if I'm not mistaken with the statistics, like 6% of currently employed occupational therapists in the US are Black, 7% or so, 5.4% is Black, 7% is Latino or Latine, and 8% is Asian. The remainder percentage is white. So we need to be able to see, to look like us.
Right. And that's real. Cause I remember you mentioned earlier, you were like, this one therapist that I was working with, I had to kind of explain to him or her specific things as it relates to my lifestyle. Hey, I can't cut people off. You know, that my world is a little bit different than that. So, and I think too, like, you know, especially like, you know, people, you know, minorities going into more of the therapy space, seeing more people that look like us, then we're, you know, we're more like in tune to go in there because somebody has either been in our shoes before or can relate to us more specifically, I guess. So
absolutely.
100%. And I'll be transparent. Obviously, I'm not allowed to talk about what we talked about, but like I was one of Dr. Merlin's like clients. This was my experience. And she made me so comfortable just talking about whatever. And although, you know, I went there for a specific purpose, sometimes the conversation would go to just everyday life. And you just kind of get, like you said, you get to really know the person who you're working with. And it just creates an environment that really just kind of, it like calmed me. It just made me relax. Mm-hmm. It kind of took stress off of me because I'm sharing what I'm going through with someone else. They're giving me some solutions of how to resolve it and fix it or better it. And it just kind of makes you just at least, at bare minimum, you definitely walk out of there feeling better and more at peace and more just relaxed. So these are a beautiful thing. Like you said, having someone who is a you know, a minority as well, just being honest, it made me feel a bit more like, okay, like she understands me. Yeah, she's not a Black woman, but let's be honest, like Black people and Latinos and Latino, we kind of grow up in a similar manner. A lot of times we grow up together, we understand, we have our own separate cultures, but a lot of the similarities as well. So it just kind of made me just like comfortable being my full self. So it's everyone who's listening, check out occupational therapy. I'm telling you, it's definitely worth it for sure. It's helped me out a lot. So
Doc, I got a question for you, right? So we're all like, all therapists, obviously they're human, right? They have their own perceptions, right? Preconceived notions, you know, subconsciously and things like that. So I guess my question for you is like, when you're in the therapy session, does like your perception or like your thought of how something should be personally ever affect your professional response?
Good question.
That's such a good question. My professional response. So does my perception of something, does that ever impact my response?
Yeah. So like, if you know something's wrong, or you know, like in your world, you probably wouldn't do that, or you would probably take another route, like based upon the feedback that you're giving, like, do you sometimes give it from like a personal standpoint, or is it almost always like the professional response way?
I think it's at times it's both, right? Okay. So there are times that I've had to, like, one of the biggest topics I think people talk to me about that they struggle with or that they don't at times feel comfortable with is medication, right? It's like, hey, I don't want to be taking medication. This is not something that I, you know, I don't want to be on this long term. My ancestors were impacted by it. We were harmed as, you know, a society, as a community by certain medical proceedings and procedures. So I don't want this. And so in certain circumstances, for example, like that, I do my best to meet my client wherever they're at and say, hey, what is going to be the 1% change that you can make that will make you feel better? Whether that's like a lifestyle change, making a change to habit or routine. And then if across time I'm beginning to see that their outcomes or like their health metrics are not getting better, then I come back and have a conversation with them about like, hey, when is it going to be the right time for you to start intervening with medication, right? For example, so that's one example. But you know what's really interesting? I think I always have this conversation about like the importance of me being able to check my bias before I have a session, right? Like, how do I check my bias to see like, is my recommendation that I'm about to say coming from a place of like, you need to be doing this, or how can I really collaborate with the client that I'm working with so they know like I'm putting you first, because your lived experience on a day-to-day basis is probably different than my own or than kind of what is recommended by the research, right? You can't always translate research to life if and when someone works multiple jobs, right? It's like, hey, go exercise But if you don't have the time in your day to do so, then we really have to adapt. So I do my best to check my bias. And there are moments that I'm just myself too. Because if I'm always wearing like a white coat or blazer, the person that I'm working with is not going to want to make a change, or they may not get the buy-in. So sometimes I'm like, what's up? Like, what's going on? How are you doing? I try my best to be personable so it doesn't feel too like rigid. So I hope that answers the question.
No, absolutely. I think it goes back to, like you said, just being yourself. Because sometimes you just see, you know, the white coat, you know, somebody just sitting there with glasses with a notebook and they're writing just from the TV, right? Just kind of watching and stuff like that. And you're like, man, I don't know how much I should, you know, open up and let them in, you know, so.
And I'll say this, yeah. I haven't been to traditional therapy yet. My only experience of therapy has been with Dr. Marilyn here with occupational therapy. But in my experience, it's not like that at all. It's very much like relaxed and comfortable. It's almost like right now on the porch. We're just kind of just having a conversation and, you know, just kind of putting together game plans, things like that. So one question that comes to my mind for you, how do you define success in this field from your perspective? You deal with so many different patients, obviously on a daily, on week, you know, weekly basis. Everyone has so many different problems. You're trying to figure out solutions and ways to make them feel better. Obviously, you can't save everybody, and some things you put together may not work. Some things they may work. But when you go home at night after a long day, or you got the weekend off maybe, and you're about to go home to relax, how do you, what's going through your head? Are you ever looking back man, I let that person down, or I didn't do, you know what I'm saying? What's going through your mind?
Oh gosh, how do I define success within my sessions at end of day? That's such a good question. Honestly, I think it goes back to if there is a comment that a client made that they're like, oh, I relate to that. Or this is doable. This change that you're recommending is feasible and can be sustainable with my lifestyle. I think that's what I try to hold on to in certain sessions. But sometimes it does get complex because there are maybe someone has multiple chronic conditions. And although we can get them to manage to a certain extent, I'm not in control of their pain and their nervous system. So seeing other people suffer is really challenging, but I do my best to hold on to those glimpses of people where they're like, aha, they got the light bulb turned on for themselves. So I can do this, I got this. I'm ready for discharge, doc. See you never again, because I'm now my own occupational therapist. I think that for me is success, when someone feels like they have the skills and the strategies to be able to do this work on their own and that they feel skilled to do so. So I hold on to those sessions really dear and near to my heart. And that's what I see to be success within my field of being an OT.
You know, that's a beautiful response too, because I feel like, unfortunately, so often, or at least the belief from the outsiders, is that a lot of doctors and whatever type of doctor you are, they make their living by having you return and come back. You know what I'm saying? That's the belief, right? This comment that you just made is part of how you define success is when your client, your patient has learned so much, they don't even need you anymore. That's powerful. Right. And I think that's so much. That's why a lot of people trying to learn it more about the holistic route in so many different fields. Cause that, to me, from what my understanding, cause I have a holistic chiropractor. I know what you do is kind of a holistic route too. Yeah. It's the same similar mindset and comment you just made is kind of what she makes, where it's like, the goal is to truly heal you, or at least educate you to a point to where you don't necessarily need me on a regular. Sure, I would love to see you, of course, if you want to come talk. But the goal is to get to a point where you don't have to come to me every single week. Whereas a lot of the traditional ways of teaching or in the medical field, at least from the eyes of the consumer, is that you're trying to set me up to where you want me to keep coming back. Here, take this medicine so you can keep on coming back. This medicine is going to solve this problem. It's going to cause issues for your kidney. So, it's like a system where that's not what you're trying to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That part.
That now talk about your friendships, right? So being in occupational therapy, right? How has that impacted your friendships? Do people normally come to you and ask you questions? Do you find yourself subconsciously throwing out advice to people? How does that work in your friendship world?
Ooh, that's such a good question. Well, I think, I don't know if Darnell mentioned it or you mentioned it, Brian, but I try to hold on to this reality of I can't heal everyone, or I'm not a superhuman. Right. And so there are moments where I have had to even establish boundaries with certain friendships. Hey, I can't be your therapist because I'm not skilled and equipped to help you because I grew up with you. Like, we're friends since childhood. And I am going to probably make a recommendation that may not be helpful or might even be harmful. And so I think I've had to learn how to establish boundaries with certain friendships. And there are others where I'm just like, hey, I need you to help me out. Like, yeah, I know you're not a therapist. Like, I don't have the answers to it all, but I want to be here and just listen and hear you out. So I try to take that approach more so than me being the one to recommend things to others. And I always ask for permission and consent. Like, are you wanting me, are you talking to me right now as a friend? Or are you talking to me about, to me right now as someone who wants, you want advice from? Like, asking for permission and getting that consent is key, because I don't ever want someone to feel like I'm just throwing solutions at them. And they're like, who is Marilyn? Where's my friend from high school who played ball? What's going on? Don't fake me. I just want to vent. So those are the moments that that's my experience with my friendships.
That was a hell of a question, Bolo. Cause like, my wife, she's a nurse, and I feel like everybody, whether it's my family or her family, every time somebody got a runny nose, they want to call Chanel. Hey, my nose is running today. Do you think that should be like, come on, man. Like, sometimes when I'm off, I'm off. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like part of it. It's a great skill to have. And like, you appreciate the fact that people come to you for help. Like, that's beautiful. But come on now. Sometimes Dr. Marilyn Thompson is trying to chill, have a drink, be a friend, go to the Beyonce concert and just be, you know what I mean? No, that's for sure. So let's move on, you know, to one of our final segments here. You know, and this is more so this learning more so about who you are when you're not working. Like, when you're not working, when you're not healing, we're not helping others out. Who is Marilyn outside of the therapy session? I kind of joked here and mentioned the Beyonce concert. I did look at the Instagram. I did see you had the full silver on in one of your pictures. But what do you like to do for fun?
I love dancing. I used to actually be a Zumba instructor. So
nice.
Be at a former Crunch back in the day, and I was your instructor. So I love to dance. I feel like it's one of my love languages for sure. It's such culturally, it's like super tied to who I am. I really enjoy, coffee. I love visiting different kind of neighborhood coffee shops and just going and posting up there, doing some just research and journaling. And I am really connected to my family. So I have to say, like, being a wife, being a daughter, being a tia, auntie, all of those things, that's who I am. And that's what I enjoy doing outside of my time, spending time with my family. Coffee.
Well, I love the accent. Like, I know for you,
I love it.
But every time she says, like, Latina, like, I can't say it, but like, when you say it, it's just like, your whole accent changes. I love it.
A whole person.
Yeah.
Okay. So next question. So for us, I think we love like the personal elements of professionals, right? Doctors, teachers, lawyers, therapists, right? All those people like we just think are perfect, right? But we also know that they have a human side to them. So we want to know like what's one of your vices, right? What's something that, you know, maybe, you know, most people don't know.
Keep it real, doc. We all got to
indulge in or get into.
Yeah. Gosh, one of my vices. God, I don't know if this is like a spicy vice or not, but as a Virgo, like, I love control and structure. And so sometimes I have to collaborate with my husband where he's just like, course. And he's just like, how can we work together here? Right. And so I think that's the same thing. I'm pretty controlling and stubborn when it comes to like my way or the highway. So that I'd say that's a vice just naturally in like, what are we going to eat today? This is what I want to eat, or no, I don't know what I want to eat, or kind of just on the day-to-day things. I'd say that's like my advice. I'm not sure if it's spicy enough for the porch, but gotta be honest.
Look, my wife's a Virgo. So everything that you just said, just explained her to a T. So like,
It resonates.
Yes. It hit home. Like, definitely.
So
I feel that.
Or the highway, man. I love it. Let me ask you this before we transition to our quick hitters. And obviously I know like you know, you gotta certain things you can't say. So obviously answer this question with quote unquote caution, so to speak. But just speaking in general, have there ever been times with you, like, you know, you had like an uncomfortable situation with any sort of client or patient where like, whatever the case may be, whether the conversation was going a certain way that you didn't like, or personality wise, just in your entire experience, has there ever been a situation where you've been uncomfortable at all with any of your clients? And if so, how did you handle that?
Yeah. Uncomfortable with my clients.
And maybe you haven't, because like I say, I'm new to the field, so I don't know if that's something that like you're dealing with such a person, like a personal job where you use one-on-one conversation. So I'm just wondering, from your perspective, have you ever been a situation where you're like, that was weird, or that didn't, you know what I'm saying?
No, I think that's such a good question. I think I had that experience when I was actually in training during my residency year to become an occupational therapist and get my license. And part of it was because this individual had a traumatic brain injury and had history of strokes in their life. And so when they communicated with me, they were very like loud and angry, and he was a black man. Yeah. And so for most people, it was like, oh, he's harming, he can be harmful, he's at risk, let me have the security guard outside of your kind of your office. And the more I started to understand, he was the client was formerly a mental health provider. And so the way that he communicated was different, and the way that he, you know, presented himself was different because he was unable to communicate his healthcare needs. And so in those instances, that instance and that experience, I think there was a moment where I was like, okay, how much of this is like, do I need to be concerned about my safety? And how much of this person is actually wanting to communicate something that they don't even know how to communicate because they're not functioning the same way that they used to. So I think that's where it goes back to one of the questions y'all asked me earlier, how to check my bias of like, how am I also contributing to additional harm by not interacting with this patient one-on-one just because of, you know, other providers' negative experiences with him? And how do I shake that off to serve this person? Because at the end of the day, they need help. So I would say that was like an uncomfortable position of like, how much of this is a safety risk, and how much of this is a secondary symptom because of what he's had to navigate? So that's one of my experiences that I had. That was like uncomfortable because I had to grow as a student too, of like, how do I respond in those moments? Right.
So yeah, that's deep, man. Like, what you're doing is so special, man. Right? You know, I don't know if I think I'm a pretty good people person, and I try to call myself like a problem solver, but I don't, what you do is next level. I don't know if I could, you know, have the same patience as you and be able to just separate personal life and what you're going on outside of work and not bringing that into work. Cause like you said, you're human. I'm sure you go through things. You might get in an argument with somebody and then you got to work later on that day. And now you're coming to work with an attitude, but you know, you have three clients and you can't really, you know what I'm saying? Bring that, you know, to the shift and to work. So, I think that's incredible, man. So.
Well, I can say one thing. One of the things we see in occupational therapy, and we see in research, is that storytelling and our narrative and talking about our lived experience is a form of therapy. And so I'd say that that's something that both of you are doing, right? That you're talking to people and asking them about like, what makes you, what do you do on a day-to-day basis, and give us some nuggets based on your expertise. So I'd say to a certain extent, we all call it different things, but maybe you need to be cashing your check somewhere else.
Doc, you calling me a therapist?
Yeah, are we doctors now? Okay, can we is this Dr. Now. Bolo and Dr. Smith?
I gotta add it to my LinkedIn, y'all.
Man, y'all heard it first, Porch Family. We didn't say it. The doctor said it, so it's official.
Storytelling is healing.
I love it. Well, let's move on to our quick hitters, man. These are just kind of our fun, random questions where we want to get some of your expertise on. So I'm going to start it off first, and then Bolo, we'll just kind of go back and forth. So first question, we're all married here on this show, so I got to ask a question about marriage. We do this almost every single show. What are the top three keys to sustaining a happy marriage? Talk to us.
Top three keys. I mean, first and foremost is communication. The second one I'd say is forgiveness. For sure, forgiveness. And three, I'd say, is being committed to loving your partner at all stages of life, because we're all going to be changing, right? Where our body's going to change, the way that we think is going to change, who we are we're naturally going to be shifting in certain stages of our life. So being committed to that person in the midst of those changes, I'd say, is the third big one. So that would be the three.
Ooh, music soap, but y'all don't change.
All stages, Bolo. All stages. That's a bar. She did a little dance. Okay.
In my head, I was like, I don't know if you can put it on the podcast because of my issues, but yes, absolutely. Music soul child.
Yes, yes, yes. Next question. Okay. From a therapist's perspective, right? What's the number one pet peeve of dating a therapist?
Number one pet peeve. I would say my husband would tell me, don't fix this for me. Like not being a problem for them and their life of like, oh, it just makes sense. Just X, Y, and Z. And he's like, my mind does not work that way. I am not an OT, but I'd say that would probably be one of his pet peeves. Cause he's just like, let me be me, please. Thank you very much.
Yeah. That's a good one. And from a man's perspective too, I could see how that could be a little bit of an issue. Cause like naturally as men, we want to be the problem solvers. We want to be the one that finds the solution for our household, for our woman. So when you're solving everything, it's like, leave me something to do. Like, golly.
And you're a Virgo too. So the delivery probably crazy. Like the way you delivering it is just kind of a little different. So it's like, all right, I got this. All right, now chill out. Now I got you.
I'm working on my gentleness. That's all I got to say. Working on my gentleness and my approach and my delivery.
Okay. Next one right here, man. Obviously you mentioned before that you love dancing. You name drop music. Soul Child. I know you listened to our episode here with Maya. So I got to ask you this question. Tell us your favorite music artist of all time and why.
Gosh, my favorite music artist of all time and why. Honestly, my favorite artist, I'd say Alicia Keys.
Partially,
it's so interesting. I just love that she like knew how to play the piano and instruments. She, you know, a songwriter, and the music that she writes and collaborates with other writers too, I feel like is just really passionate and all about relationships. So I don't know why I was like a five-year-old singing her heartbreak songs. Like I knew what she was talking about.
Right?
But how would jam into her music all the time. So I'd say that would be my favorite artist. Even though I've never been to her concert, so I need to pull up one of these days when she's on tour.
I make that happen.
Fact. I wouldn't mind going to an Alicia Keys concert. I've never been to one. She's super dope. That's a good one. Okay. Describe your perfect date night.
My perfect date night. Honestly, I think it was yesterday. The Lakers were playing.
Ooh.
We had some delicious pizza and we were just chilling on the couch. I think just having that downtime, those three things, sports. My husband and I love sports. I used to play basketball in high school. He loves basketball. So being able to watch a sport game, having some food, indulging and not being guilty, and just, ending the night with a really great time after that.
Love that. Love that. That's what's up.
I love that.
Now, Doc, let me ask you this. So you invited to the cookout, right? But are you bringing something to the cookout?
Oh, 1,000%.
Oh my God. What you bringing?
What you bringing? Okay.
Well, I have to bring two things. One, for sure, some mac and cheese.
Ooh.
The other one, it has to be a cultural dish, right? So panes con pavo, some delicious, my own Salvadorian, like delicious food and that I love to cook is where it's at. So I had to bring something culturally for myself and something else that will embrace the
culture. So you cooking then. I thought you was gonna say like some potato salad or some cups or some pies or something. Mac and cheese is top five black person meal. So you bringing mac and cheese, that means everybody eating it. So that means you're cooking it good then.
It's so funny. I think one of the things I had to adapt to is like my husband's like, you put your foot in that, babe. And I was like, your foot? I was like, babe, that sounds so unhygienic. He's like, no, babe, it means it tastes good. And I was like, oh, okay. It's like, I'm always waiting for that compliment now.
That's funny.
I remember the first time you heard that, you probably were offended. Like, I put my foot in there. Like, well, God.
Yeah, back to that one benefit, learning about different cultures. Interracial marriages is where it's at.
Come on, y'all. Cool. One more time. Can you name Salvadorian dish that you named?
Panes con pavo. So it is essentially like a bread with a bunch of lettuce, tomatoes. It could be any type of protein. So turkey or chicken, it's juicy. It's bomb. It's bomb. Damn. You got to go put up after this.
That's crazy. So back home, we used to have this thing. It's kind of similar to that, but we call it a hoagie. You know what I'm saying? Okay, perfect. Okay, now Chicago. You're on the same page. Yeah, yeah. Fire. Damn, that's crazy.
Is it possible for me to ask y'all a question?
Oh, on the porch.
Okay. So one thing that I'm always interested about is obviously being an occupational therapist. I love to learn about what is one, like, people's favorite occupation, like what they find meaningful, what they find valuable. So I'm curious to know, like, for you, what is one activity or an occupation that you really are passionate about, you enjoy doing, you find pleasure in? What is that occupation for y'all?
Ooh, that's a good one. So in my world now, and I think only think the Porsche family knows this. So I work for a recruiting company that works in within manufacturing, right? So everybody that starts with us, I train them like initial development, like when they continue to kind of grow with the company, 30, 60, 90, or maybe 2 years down the road, they need to kind of sharpen the blade a little bit. I'm keeping them going, redirect them and all that good stuff. And then on the other end, I coach football. High school sports. So I'm helping high school kids. So I just think I've been put on this planet to just help redirect, just help inspire, just help continue to just be a voice for people who feel voiceless at times, and just get people that needed motivation that they need to continue to push through and get to whatever element they're trying to tap into.
That's amazing. That's amazing. For me, I really like feel like I found my new passion, and it really is the storytelling element, you know, whether that's here on the porch, whether that's producing a project where maybe I'm not literally on camera, but my ideas are on camera and my thought processes are on camera. When, you know, when football ended for me, I kind of was a little lost. You know what I'm saying? I actually used to work with Bolo at that same company before I moved out here. We worked together. Yeah. So out to E, just, you know, I love them, man. And, really like great job, you know, still to this day, I would recommend anybody to work there. For me though, I just knew long-term that wasn't like, it wasn't me. And I was like, man, like, what am I missing? Like, football's gone. I thought that was going to be like my end all be all and kind of get me out the hood, so to speak, and change my family's life. And then that ended. And it was kind of like a weird phase. I'm like, I'm just trying to figure out what's next. And God bless you with this opportunity to come out to LA and work at Fox. And these last 5 years have been phenomenal. The people I've been able to sit down with and learn from and talk to and storytell. And one thing that I think I've been blessed with naturally is just the ability to make people around me feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. Whatever reason, my whole life, I meet people, I meet new people. Almost every single body I touch or I meet, I make them smile or laugh. And I'm not bragging. I'm just saying, like, it just is what it is. Like, people come around me, like being around me. So that plays a huge role when it comes to hosting or storytelling. And I really enjoy just hearing from others and their different experiences. And like you said, learning about their culture. So that's where my true passion is now. And, you know, hopefully I get to a point where I can truly 100% focus on that, you know, full time.
That's beautiful. Okay. My last question is, if there's one thing that you could do to prioritize your mind, body, spirit, what would that be? And what would be the intention for that? Moving forward,
one thing to that's a good question.
I think you can mean on your mind, body, and spirit. What would that be?
Like one action that could help improve all those things. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah.
Man, for me, it's kind of simple. For me, I just think more of like the physical health, physical fitness. It's so crazy. Like when I'm working out and like I'm going through like intense workouts, or I get to a point in my workout where I'm super tired, mentally I tap into something different to where like all of these ideas and stuff are popping in my head and how I feel like so powerful where I can do anything, right? Mm-hmm. Or after I finish a set, like I think I'm the most creative or I'm the most confident when I'm working out and when I'm tapped into like that space. So if I can just find a way to just do that, like work out essentially more consistently, I think it'll continue to create more of these creative ideas in my head and continue to tap into like that true being of myself. Cause I feel you can't tell me nothing when I'm working out. I'm telling you, like, I feel like
check yourself out in the mirror. Oh yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
that was the best set.
Great set. Like, mentally I'm thinking about ideas and stuff. Like I can do this and then everybody gonna love this. Like, you know what I mean? Like it's crazy.
That's a great point. And, you know, Doc, you know how important working out is for me. Obviously, I've talked to you about that countless times. I've kind of been lacking the last 2 weeks because we just moved and I'm trying to figure out my new, like, workout situation. Like, we don't have the same access to the same gym. So I'm trying to figure out if I'm gonna work out at home or get a membership. So that's obviously one thing for me. But the bigger thing for me is something that like a friend of mine asked me the other day when we were just talking in general. He asked me how valuable is 1 hour of my time? And we were talking about just all the things I'm doing and all the working I got going on. And the reason he asked that was because he was saying it's okay to not be able to handle everything by yourself. And it might be in a position where you have to delegate certain things or get an intern to help out with this or whoever it may be to help you balance certain things out. And he really had me thinking. I'm like, man, you know, as much as I want to be like the macho man and I can do everything by myself, I'm not God. And that's okay. And so, like, I guess for me, it would be like going into 2024, it's like being okay with delegating some of the work that I'm doing, because ultimately, if I'm taking some things off of my plate, then it will actually help me think more creatively and be able to focus more on the priorities instead of my brain just being like this because I got so much to do on my plate. So I don't know if that answered your question directly, but that's probably the one thing I think that would help me balance everything out.
So physical activity and delegating. Protecting your time, giving yourself an hour every time. Excellent. That's awesome.
That felt like a little therapy session right there for free.
You know what I'm saying? You got me to go to sleep thinking about it. Like, man.
That was a free therapy session right there for you, Bolo. Hey, next time you got to pay.
We experience something new every time we get on the porch, y'all. That's why I say porch family, y'all better take care of these. Hey, we everywhere. And this is free gems right now, y'all. We giving out free therapy right now. All right. And y'all ain't got to pay a dollar. Y'all just got to tune in.
Nah, thank you so much, though, for taking the time here. I feel like on a serious note, we learned so much about you and everything you're doing. Continue to shine and be a light, you know, here in this world. Continue to, you know, be that giver. You know, I know sometimes, you know, it's probably moments where you feel like, you know, you're tired or exhausted, or maybe you feel like people are not appreciating you. I'm telling you right now, it's firsthand. We appreciate you, what you do. You're very much needed. And I pray that this could be inspiration to get more of minorities out into the occupational therapy role or just any forms of therapy at all to just improve ourselves mentally and physically, spiritually, et cetera. So this is your time here. If you want to promote anything you're doing or anything at all, it's kind of your time. Just, you know, kind of shout out anything that you got going on.
Yeah. So if you're interested in occupational therapy, you can find our services via the USC OT Lifestyle Redesign Clinic here in LA. Additionally, if you're interested in kind of supporting At Promise Youth, former foster youth, please check out To Inspire. And hopefully you can also check us out on my Instagram at Dr.Marilyn Thompson via Instagram as well.
There you go. Thank you so much, man. Porch family, make sure you guys hit that like button. Drop a review, comment, subscribe. You know, if you're listening right now, you either listen to Apple, you're on Stitcher, you're on Spotify, you're on Google Podcasts, or you might be watching it live on YouTube or Caffeine TV, or it might just be an Instagram clip. We're everywhere, so there's no excuse not to check us out and support us. And Bolo, man, how do we always end every single show?
Sports family, we did it again. Make sure you wake up every day, you're taking care of your resources and making sure that the best you
is the best you, and we out. Peace.
Started on the porch, that was where it all began. Had to put in work every day, we got it in. We chased all our dreams, and now they can't believe it. We make it look easy, we achieving everything we need. Now we undefeated. If we link, no, it's only business. If we get to speak and leave them speechless, I did things for free, but now it costs to see me. When you see me, you ain't gotta greet me. Just don't plot to sneak me. I'ma see it. I'ma stop and watch you lose and get defeated. What do we bleed? Came from the jungle, we humble but hungry and hunting to feed. People don't want us to leave. They love us and rush to the bus when we run in the streets, thinking we stunning the sea. We came from nothing to something, now up in the lead. Now we ain't coming in peace, hunting for blood and a crush everyone in the league. We got a reason. We put in work every day of the week, every month, every season. So many schemes, had to go off of the team. We gave our all and succeeded. Came from the deep end, warming up pots, cooking ramen at times. That was all we was eating. Now we be feasting, 5-star restaurants every week. Whole teams with the cloth and the seniors. They looking hard when we step on the scene. Call us outcasts, we so fresh and so clean. Ain't about cash, please don't ask for a meeting. Just hit the stoop out the spaz on the beat. Nah, it ain't rude if you ask for the feet. Just play it cool when I tax you the fee. We need a pool in the back with a court and a board to go jump off and splash.
rise for the heat. Live for the day, cause the past can't determine the future or where you gon' actually be. Keep staying present, our presence a blessing. It's all that we have and we actually need. I'm taking action with passion, detaching the ones who keep acting attached to leech. I am no pastor, but actually preaching. Look up these lyrics and actually reach. That was where it all began. Had to put in work every day, we got it in. We chased all our dreams and now they can't believe it. We make it look easy, we achieving everything we needed. Now we undefeated. If we link, no, it's only business. If we get to speak and leave them speechless. I did things for free, but now it comes.